Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The role of unions has changed over time. Union members pioneered changes in America's work life, such as weekends off and pay for overtime hours. Cooper Caraway is president of the Sioux Falls AFL-CIO. He says the modern South Dakota labor movement reflects the shifting needs of working America today. And he joins me now in the Sioux Falls studio. Cooper Caraway, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we're kind of going over, I grew up on the east side of Sioux Falls, and before we came live on the air, we were talking a little bit about the building there, the Labor Temple, in my old neighborhood. And tell listeners a little bit about what AFL-CIO does overall so we can get some perspective, and then we'll talk about the physical space that's in Sioux Falls.
Sure. So the AFL-CIO is the Federation of American Labor Unions. And so most all labor unions in the United States are part of the AFL-CIO. So we represent probably over 50 labor unions, along with nationwide about 12 and a half million workers. And wow. Sioux Falls AFL-CIO is just a local branch of that. So we have, over 30 local unions that are represented and over 5,000 members here.
5,000 members in the Sioux Falls area?
That's correct.
Interesting. And the physical space that you occupy, what all is that used for? Offices, but so much more.
Sure. So the Sioux Falls Labor Temple was built in the early 1950s. The labor unions in Sioux Falls came together and decided they needed a collective space. And so they built the Labor Temple brick by brick with their own, sweat. And now at the bottom floor of the Labor Temple, we have a large union hall. We have a full-service kitchen, a bar, and many classrooms that our workers use for education and other things. And the Labor Temple is used often by the community for weddings, receptions, cultural events, and everything like that. And in the top floor, we have union offices.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the labor movement in America. And, I mentioned things that we take for granted today, but take me back in time a little bit, because those things that we take for granted today were not a given in how America workers would be treated.
That's right. Most unions that exist today, when they first got organized, they were considered by the government to be illegal criminal syndicates, basically the way the government would treat a gang these days. In most cases, it was illegal for public employees to gather or to attempt to organize. The initial meetings were broken up by police. Union leaders were thrown in jail and sometimes publicly executed and sometimes in front of their families. And so it's been a long and oftentimes bloody struggle across this country and across the world, really, for workers to get any kind of guarantee of rights and to get where we are today.
What was so radical about what those leaders were saying that they were criminalized?
Well, I'll give you a good example. In Chicago, that's where the fight for an 8-hour workday began in Chicago by mostly immigrants, immigrant workers. At this time, workers were being worked until they dropped dead, oftentimes. And so they developed a proposal, which they thought was reasonable, 8 hours to work, 8 hours to sleep, and 8 hours to do what you want. And that seemed reasonable to all except their bosses. And at that time, the bosses controlled the police force. They controlled the political system in Chicago. And so they came and On May 1st, the police came and attacked a rally there in Chicago. A riot broke out, and the union leaders that were leading the 8-hour workday campaign were publicly executed in Chicago. But now, throughout the whole world, except in this country, that May 1st is celebrated as International Workers' Day. Mm. This is the only country in the world that does not recognize May 1st as Labor Day.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So who are some of those leaders what was the shift? How did things start to change?
Everything started kind of coming to the head during the FDR administration. FDR said that, basically the New Deal was the only way to save the current economic system and the capitalist model. And otherwise, there would be a revolution, which had broken out all over the country at that time, or all over the world at that time, in Russia and other places. And so they feared, they had a lot of fear that something like that would happen here. And so they passed a series of reforms, including the National Labor Relations Act, which basically legalized most unions, along with, you know, giving them the right to organize, giving workers the right to collectively bargain, negotiate at the table with their employers, and et cetera. And from there, all that we've seen, all the progress we've seen, has come from what's been decided and fought for at that bargaining table. Hmm.
So some people who are listening now, you know, this is an interesting history lesson, but the time for unions is over because we got those basic protections. And I'm guessing you would argue that absolutely not, the time for unions is not over. But how come? How do you communicate that with people that now that we have some of those things that we didn't have and we've made so much progress, where is the work left to be done? How do you communicate that with folks who are just not so sure what the role of the union is today?
Sure. Well, you know, the fact is that workers still need protection. In South Dakota, you're an at-will employee unless you have a union, which means you can be fired because the manager came into work and stepped on his kid's Legos that morning and is in a bad mood. They need no reason to fire you unless you have a union to protect you. And so workplace security is one. But there's also many other issues, including workplace safety. South Dakota is 47th in the nation in workplace safety. South Dakotans die on the job as a result of poor safety standards at a rate that's over twice the national average. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of work to be done. And the only, the only way that workers have ever gained more benefits, more safety, and more protection, and higher wages has been through organizing together and working together into unions.
Let's talk a little bit about, and again, if you're just tuning in, my guest is Cooper Caraway. He's president of the Sioux Falls AFL-CIO, the youngest president in the state. Do I understand it correctly?
When I was elected, I was the youngest elected AFL-CIO president in the country.
Wow.
Since my election, a young 26-year-old brother was elected in Western Wisconsin, which is good.
Right.
But... yes, so second youngest in the country, I suppose.
Is that so? I ask you that because I want to talk about sort of the changing face of the labor movement across the country, and then about how that applies to South Dakota. What's happening in the labor movement right now? Is it stagnant or is it growing?
So the labor movement is experiencing a large surge of growth. And 2017 was the first year in decades that the labor movement had seen net growth. Over 270,000 people joined unions in 2017. In fact, there was one week about a month ago where over 10,000 people joined unions. The reason we're seeing that is because people my age, folks under 35, are joining the workforce and organizing themselves into unions and also joining unions that currently exist. If you look at union approval ratings for folks under 30, they're up in the 70 and 80%. And so what we're seeing is a large growth, and it's because young folks are getting active and organizing for a better life.
And what is sort of the demographic makeup? Are we looking at, the sort of certain industries that are really, does it matter where you work, who you are, where you come from?
No. So we have... in the labor movement, we have doctors who are organized. Everyone knows they're actors and actresses, famous actors and actresses. They're all union. Professional sports players are all union. And you have building trades, construction workers, and you have white collar, engineers, who make six figures. And so all workers in this country have the right to organize, and they're doing it.
Yeah. What about refugee and immigrant workers right now? How are they sort of driving a new conversation in the labor movement?
So here locally, the local union membership is over 50% immigrant and refugee. They've formed sort of their own committee within the local Sioux Falls AFL-CIO called the International Solidarity Committee. And the purpose of this is the committee is made up of local union members who are immigrants and refugees, and their purpose is to they work to organize incoming immigrants and refugees into unions. They work to educate them on their rights as workers, and they also spend a lot of time educating American-born workers on labor issues in their home countries, in Africa or South America.
Sure. Is that, because it seems to me if you came to a new place or if you were a young person entering the workforce, that education might not, it's not something you learn in school, exactly transferring to the workforce and what your rights would necessarily be. Do you find that sometimes it's starting from scratch in a way to say, yes, you have rights as a worker and here are some of the basic the basic things?
Sure. And, you know, that's for all of us. Most, I didn't learn my rights as a person entering the workforce in high school. Most folks don't. Most textbooks, they might teach about the instance I discussed in Chicago. They might talk about FDR, but they're not going to talk about what you need to do to form a union, about your legal rights to form a union, to organize and to negotiate. Like most things, it's up to working people to lift ourselves up and get together and educate each other as best we can and to help each other fight as best we can.
Give me an idea then for people who are listening and they're wondering. They would know if they were part of a union, but they might not know how to organize. Where do they start learning more about this?
Okay, so if you're thinking of forming a union, you can go to the AFL-CIO website, and there's a good walkthrough of how to do it. But it's quite a simple process. If you're in the private sector, then all you'd have to do is kind of look up what union represents your particular trade, or industry, and then contact that union. And then the simple process now is that all you have to do is get at least 30% of your coworkers to sign a card saying that they're interested in a union. Those cards get sent to the National Labor Relations Board office in Minneapolis, and then the office in Minneapolis comes down and they conduct an election. So all the workers in that area get together and vote union yes or no. And if they vote yes, then you win. You have a union, and your boss legally has to negotiate with you and recognize your union as the representative.
All right. So this is an issue in South Dakota, and it has been in the state legislature. Give us an idea, localize this a little bit, and talk about some of what you see are the challenges getting your coworkers to participate in the union, because it's not required. Or How does that work? What is some of the state legislation challenge has been for you?
Sure. So every year, the state legislature attempts to strip away rights for some workers that they've won legally. This past legislative session, they attempted to take away the rights of college professors to negotiate a contract. The year before, they successfully took away the rights of workers at the tech schools to negotiate a contract. They just took the right away and tore up the contract. And so it's a struggle when you have a legislature that's hostile to the rights won by working folks. Basically, our position is, we don't really want anything extravagant. We just want the rights that we've already won to be protected. And we've seen a legislature that's hostile to that. And unfortunately, today we have a federal government that's hostile to that as well and is attempting to take those rights away at a national level.
So I want to dig into that a little bit, because I remember the conversation about college professors and some of the, interviews we did on this show with professors who, are saying what you said, and then some of the lawmakers who were making that comparison I was making in the beginning, and they said these are college professors, they're not being asked to work, sweatshop sort of, hours, and they really didn't think it applied. They wanted those professors to be more flexible about online learning and night classes and things like that. Those were some of the arguments we were hearing. What was your response to some of those arguments?
Sure. I think this all stems from just a general misunderstanding of the role of unions. Basically, all a union is a group of workers in an area, and they decide what they want, and they decide they want to help management run the area. It doesn't mean anything about being inflexible. You know, there's nothing in, you know, the union creed that says, you know, don't do anything, you know, that your boss tells you, don't be flexible. The unions, particularly teachers, have shown that they're more than willing to go above and beyond for their craft and to help, you know, further the education of South Dakotans. And basically what we were saying to the legislatures who for the most part are not teachers, they're lawyers or, you know, they're other things, they're not teachers. And so all we're saying is, hey, the folks on the ground, the folks in the classroom every day, they know what's best. You know, they know how to do their job. They know what they need. So trust the teachers. And that's been our position.
How did you get involved in this work? We mentioned earlier that you're one of the youngest presidents of a state organization in the country. What brought you here?
Sure. So I came from Texas. My grandfather was a steel worker in a place called Lone Star Steel in Lone Star, Texas, a member of the United Steel Workers Union. You know, I grew up, you know, through my teenage years, you know, I understood that unions are, you know, necessary, and that, in a much broader sense that anywhere that we've seen profound progressive or social change, that those movements for change have been led by working people organized into unions. And so I've been involved in the labor movement, for about 10 years, so 17. One of my first jobs working in a warehouse, I joined the Teamsters Union. I've, you know, worked as a union organizer for teachers unions, a union rep for other groups. I got a call from the Public Employees Union, AFSCME Council 65 in South Dakota, and they needed someone who knew how to organize and represent workers in a right-to-work state. That's what brought me here, and I'm happy to be here. And January, I was elected president of the local AFL-CIO.
What's the future in a right-to-work state? Is that something that you are aiming to change? Is that an area that you're targeting, or is it just a matter of working in the structure that we have, you know, for the advantage?
Well, it's both. Okay. So we need to do the best we can with what we have and make sure workers are protected and getting the wages and benefits that they need to survive and exist, feed their families. But surely in the broader scheme, right to work has to go, regardless of what the Supreme Court or the national administrations or the state administration says. Right to work is bad for working families. We've seen that, you know, in right-to-work states, that's where wages are the lowest. That's where worker safety is the lowest. That's where people are getting hurt and dying on the job. That's where, you know, women have few protections. You know, the right-to-work is something that, you know, definitely has to go if South Dakota is going to make any sort of progress in those areas.
Cooper Caraway is president of the Sioux Falls AFL-CIO. The website, and find it on Facebook one more time in our remaining 15 seconds. Where should people go to connect?
Sure, they can find us on Facebook at Sioux Falls AFL-CIO. They can find us on Twitter as well, Sioux Falls Labor. You follow us, stay up to date, and anytime, as always, you can stop by the Labor Temple, and there'll be someone there to help you.
Cooper, thanks so much. Come back anytime.
Thank you.